Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Thank you, band. Wow. Standing ovation already. That is fantastic. I haven't even preached yet. You can have a seat. Thank you. Didn't the band do a great job this morning? Who loves the house of God? I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I go to a lot of services, but every time I come here, I encounter God in some way. And that's what church is all about. It's about encountering Him. It's about a true relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. That's what our Christian worlds are about. And I want to talk to you this morning about this is the house of God. What is the house of God? I'm going to go through that. But, you know, I've been coming to this church for 37 years. And I came when I was 5 years old. My parents brought me along. If you're a parent here, bring your kids to church. If your kids say, I don't want to go, you say, we're going to church. When they're young, give them a foundation, because if they said to you, I don't want to go to school, would you go, okay, no problems. We know what's best for our kids. You got to bring your kids to church. You got to set them up. Give them a foundation so that when they get to a certain age, they can make the decision for themselves. And that's what my parents did for me. You know, they set me up with a great foundation, and I came to a point where I got to make my own decision, and a very real decision, and it came from an encounter. And we're going to go through Jacob's encounter and subsequent revelation. But can I just see a show of hands? Who's been coming to this church for less than a year? We're going to go through all this. Less than a year? Fantastic. See some hands. Who's been coming for about 1 to 5 years? Fantastic. Who's been coming for about 5 to 10? Wow, this is great. 10 to 20. Wow. Who's been coming here for 20 plus years? Amazing. Isn't that amazing? You know what I love about this house is that we constantly have new people coming through. We constantly have people who've been around for a lot longer, but there is a broad spectrum of people who have come to this church. And my dream and my vision for this house is to see new people coming into this house and encountering Christ for the first time. We have to believe that this place is the house of God. So I'm going to ask some people, why do we love the house of God? Why do you love the house of God? Who would I like to ask? What about Emily and Glenn? I'll come past the front row in a minute because these guys are all brilliant. So,
okay, there we go. I love the house of God because it's a place where I just get refreshed and, you know, to rub shoulders against people of a high caliber in life. And, you know, God is just amazing, and He reveals Himself to us and to me every weekend. And that's why I love coming here.
Oh, that's beautiful, babes. I thought it was just... No. Well, I met my husband here, eh? That's pretty good. He's an awesome man. I've always been a presence junkie ever since I was a little girl. And so for me, worship is just the best part of my week. Worshipping with this congregation, best part of my week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Follow me, cameras. Tim and Lena Nimmo. Oh, don't choose us. Oh. Why do you love the house of God?
Oh, look, we love the house of God, but we actually met each other in church. Yep. And that was a bonus for me. I upgraded. And I just love Cameo. I worship. I can't sing at all, but somehow when that music comes, I just love singing. Yeah. And I get refreshed, I get topped up, and I get to meet great people like my mate Jay here.
Wow. There's so many reasons why I love the house of God. For me, when I first stepped into the house of God, it was just a family. I was quite alone in life. Even though I had a family, I just needed the family of God just to grow and help me and ground me, and that's what it did for me. But I love the presence of God in the house and just connecting with other people. You just always find God just not only through the Word but through other people. He speaks into your life and gives you, you know, just speaks and directs you and, you know, just rubbing shoulders with godly people, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Wayne Dorsey. Come and grab the mic.
Well, Rubes and I were talking about this last Sunday night, actually, so I think that's why you hunted me down. But, I mean, you already mentioned it, I think, Rubes, and for me it's the foundation that it builds for our kids. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I was here last Sunday night watching my nephew get baptised and looking at my kids standing there worshipping, and I thought, that's what it's all about. It's that foundation that we set in place for our kids, and from there you can't go too far wrong.
Awesome. I'm going to preach while I walk. It's a first. Hey, listen, just what Wayne was saying there, you know, we have so many great youth leaders and kids leaders in this place. And I've got to, yeah, give him a hand. Alex Lee down the front here. Alex, why don't you just stand up? Come on, Alex. You know, Alex and our youth leaders and our kids leaders, Nick and Stacey, why don't you stand up? Okay, so I'm just going to give you some information about these guys. So they're here for your kids. They're here to help you with your kids. So what that means is it's a good team effort, right? So, you know, we had a child who started saying to us, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to youth church anymore. I don't have any friends there. I don't know, you know, and these are normal things for kids to start saying. They need kids. They need. So what do? We get the youth leader on the phone and say, can you meet us at the entrance so she doesn't feel like she's going in by herself? And the youth leaders met us and we did that for quite a while. And I, you know, I've got to say, these guys are here to help you with your kids. That they're here to, you know, they're here to help you and your kids find Christ. And that's why we're here. And I just work with your youth leaders, work with your kids leaders, work with these guys because they have your kids at heart. They have your kids at mind. So I just wanted to say that very quickly, give them a big heads up. They are awesome people. We love them. But you know, I love that this place is a place where people have sacrificed for so long. Before we, you know, when I was going through how many years people have been here, there are people who have been here for years. They have sacrificed for years. They have turned up for years. And I just want to encourage you that this is what church is all about. When we start going to church, God starts doing something on the inside of us. But guess what? He's never finished. So, and there would have been many people that many friends, if you've been around here for a long time, you may see people come and go. God wasn't finished with them. And can I just encourage you to keep turning up, because every day you turn up to church, every Sunday, God is working something on the inside of you and He's not finished yet. Today, you will encounter God and take something away. Next week, you will encounter God and take something away. And that's what church is all about. But you know, I've seen all sorts of wonderful things in this church. But we're going to read right now out of Genesis 28, verse 10 to 22. And this is Jacob's story. And it goes like this. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there, set it under his head, and lay down to sleep. Apparently he liked hard pillows. Who likes a hard pillow? Yeah. And he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground, and it reached all the way to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down on it. There was an open heaven. This is Jacob's ladder. Then God was right before him saying, I am God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving you the ground on which you are sleeping to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east and from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants. Yes, I'll stay with you. I'll protect you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this very ground. I'll stick with you until I've done everything I promised you. Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, God is in this place truly, and I didn't even know it. He was terrified. He whispered in awe, incredible, wonderful, holy, this is God's house. This is the gate of heaven. Isn't that an awesome passage? See, Jacob goes to sleep and he has an encounter with God, a full-on encounter where he sees an open heaven. And after that encounter, he has a deep, profound revelation that this is the house of God. And this is the house of God, an open heaven above us. This is such an important place for you and for your kids. And it's such an important place where we can come and encounter him. And I've been coming for years and years. We've seen the good and the bad, and we've seen everything. Who remembers the power team? Oh, okay. The power team. There were a bunch of muscly Christians who turned up, wore tiny little singlets, and they would break big blocks of ice with their head. And they would blow water bottles, hot water bottles up until they exploded. They would tear a yellow pages with their bare hands in two. And then they would hold an altar call and hundreds of people came to Christ. It was crazy. It was crazy. But I've always had fun at church. Church is fun. But you know, we've seen everything. This is the house of God. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is what is the house of God. But before we do, I thought I would share with you what the house of God is not. Okay? What church is not. Church is not a positive thinking seminar. Contrary to popular belief sometimes. Although you will leave this place with faith. But if this was a positive thinking seminar, we would have hot coals and we'd get Anthony Robbins and we'd do all that stuff. Church is not a place where you come to feel better about yourself, but you will. Church is not a social club, although this community is one of the best you'll ever be in. Church is not a free babysitting club for your kids. I remember someone telling me a story about some parents who had come and drop their kids off to C3 Kids on a Sunday morning and go down to the beach. Wow. At least their kids were encountering Christ while they're down at the beach. If that's you, stop it. It's not a free babysitting club. Church is not an opportunity to network and get business contacts. Stop it. Anyway, you'll learn that Christians are the worst people to be in business with anyway, so not true. And church is not a show, although we can put on a good one. No, this is the house of God. This is the place where his glory dwells. There is an open heaven in this place. Every time we come to worship, there is an open heaven for you. God wants you to have an encounter with him. He wants to know you better. And this was Jacob's revelation after his encounter. But how did the church start? Well, in Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, because it's always good to understand how we got here. And it says this, out of the message, of course. That day, about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized and were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. Four key things: teaching, life together, a common meal, and prayer. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in wonderful harmony. They were great days. Holding everything in common, they sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's need was met. So this morning, no, we're not going to do that. But isn't this amazing? Like, you know what this says to me is that they were all in. They were all in, and they were all in together as a body working together. They followed the daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. This is how the first church started. And you can see we still do all of those things. We still worship, we still pray, we still are taught and teach, and we still hang out together. Hanging out for a meal is one of the best things you can ever do with somebody else. So what is the house of God? Well, the house of church, the house of God, number one, is an encounter. And this is what happened to Jacob. And as we come together and we worship, we have an encounter with him. There is an open heaven above us, and there is something powerful about coming together in this place. You can do it by yourself at home, but I've got to tell you right now, my experience would tell me that my encounters with Christ, my best encounters, are right here with you all. When I worship and when I hold my hands high, I encounter Christ. Just this morning, I had an encounter. In the chapel service, I had an encounter. And as we come together, there is power in us coming together. There is power in it. Number two, it is an altar. This is an altar. I don't know, when Phil, Pastor Phil and Chris were building this house, they had plans to have chairs all the way from the pulpit all the way back. And Pastor Phil felt God talk to him and say to him, I want an altar down here. I want an altar in front of this church. So he cleared the first five or six rows and he left an altar. And I don't know about you, but I've spent many, many a moment on this altar, as have many of you. And I see people's lives changed on this altar. I see the tears that have been shed on this altar. I see the laughter. I see the deliverance. I see the healing that has happened down here. And I thank God for this house. And I thank God that Pastor Phil listened to God when he said that, because I know this house of God is an altar and always will be. We build an altar and we come to worship. Number three, a place of worship. Who loves worshiping in this house? Fantastic. I tell you what, we have a great legacy of worship here, a wonderful legacy. And we are spoilt, just like Ryan said this morning. But I tell you what, when I come and I can abandon everything, when we worship, we put God in the right place. We put God above. We put him on the throne and we recognize that he is the Father of all and that he can help us through any situation. I love coming to worship. I tell you what, this is the big difference between worship and meditation. See, meditation is all about me. It's all about how I feel. It's all about, I tell you what, it's a trick. As soon as we go to prayer and worship, we set God above. And we look above and we know, because we can't make it on our own, because we can't do it, we know that God can through us. God has a great plan for our lives and wants us to succeed. And this is what happens when I go into worship. I set God up above. You know, we're going to worship God forever one day. It's eternity. And you think, I just get tired after three songs. How am I going to do it for eternity? But I don't think we've even seen a glimpse of what real worship is. We will see many, many different facets of God's wonderful love. And we will worship forever because we will want to worship forever. Isn't that awesome? I know eternity is a weird concept, but we've only seen a corner or a piece of what real worship is. Number four, it's a place of exchange. It's our human nature that we want an exchange out of church. We want something out of it. And this is a wonderful thing about God. So you can come into this place with your worries and your burdens and anything that you are carrying, and you can leave it on the altar down here. You can give it up to Him, and He replaces your worry with peace, with joy, with laughter. You can come to this place and you can give over your sins. There is a time to repent and a time to give over our sins and say sorry. And in return, He gives us mercy and compassion and grace like you have never experienced before in your life. There is an exchange that happens when you come into this house. It's real. You take something away. And that's why when I come and there is a time of worship, I give everything. I give everything over to Him. I say, God, take it. Take it all. All my worries, all my sins, take everything. And I know I can walk out of here a free man every Sunday. A place of exchange. Number five, it's a place of teaching and discipleship. Wow, I tell you what. You know, we put in place Next Steps. I think it was last year or the year before. I can't remember now. But it's a place where we come to take our next step. We need to be taught. You know, the Bible is so rich. There are scriptures that I read that I read 20 years ago. And I read them today. And there's something new in that scripture for us. The Word is living. It is alive. And when we read it and we dive in, there is more to get from it. We need to keep being taught. Number six, a place for fellowship. I love coming to church and hanging out with you guys. I love being out there in the forecourt, seeing people, talking to people. I love seeing my friends at church, and we come together for fellowship. This is a real place of fellowship with your friends. You know, it says that iron sharpens iron. And we need good Christian friends to help us do this journey together. It's no good trying to do it by yourself. We will make every effort we can to have you connected in this place, to have you connected with other people, because you need to do the journey with friends that think the same way. It's a place of fellowship. Number seven, it's the bride of Christ. This church is the bride of Christ. It says that Jesus Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride. This is how important a relationship it is for Jesus, that He would consider the church, us, as His bride. And you know, this is such an important thing to understand, because when we understand the relationship that the church has with Jesus Christ, we understand how important it is, we then know how to treat it. See, we need to treat this place as a holy place. We need to treat this place the way Christ would want His bride looked after. And I know that when we build this place up, when we speak positively about this place, when we invite our friends, God feels like this place, Jesus feels like this place is being looked after. We speak highly of this church. We speak highly of our leaders, and we take up and build together this place. This is the bride of Christ. Number eight, it's a place to have fun. Yeah. We need to have fun. Yeah. If you're not having fun, you should start. We do so many things to try and have fun in this place, because, you know, church was never meant to be boring. Never meant to be boring. And I know that as you come into this house and you meet the right people, some people have a great sense of humour, some people don't, but that's okay. We can all have fun together. It's about coming together and having fun. I love this place. I tell you what, I love coming to this house and being challenged every week. I see people who've come to church and stopped going, and they stop being challenged in the areas that they need to be challenged. I love coming and being challenged to forgive. I love being challenged to let go, to dream big, to have faith for the future, to take my relationship with God deeper, or to do my relationships better. Because when we understand who Christ is and what He did for us, we can understand how to do great relationships. See, a revelation of Christ is understanding what He did for us, but also the love and the mercy and the compassion. You will find it much easier to forgive when you're in church, much harder when you're out of church. I've got many friends who have never been in church, and forgiveness never comes into their vocabulary. And I see them go through relationship breakdowns because they're not willing or they've never been challenged to forgive. But if you know Jesus Christ, He forgave us. And that makes it so easy to forgive others. He had compassion for us. You will find if you hang around church, you'll find that you have compassion for people that you would never normally have compassion for. This is what God does through us. This is what Jesus does through us. I met a guy at one of our services recently, and he's done some pretty bad things. He's looking at a pretty good stint in jail. And there wasn't one moment when he was telling me his story that I thought, you deserve that. Because everyone is broken in some way. Everyone needs Christ. And everyone needs to know that Christ died for them and had compassion on them. And the way we do that is we show compassion for others. And you know, the one thing this guy, this is his first time at church ever. And he told some of the guys after, he said, I can't believe how no one is judging me. He said, I've lost all my friends, all my family, and yet these Christians are reaching out to me at a time when I need it the most. We are Christ's hands and feet in this place. You will have compassion on people who you would think, I shouldn't have compassion on those people. It's amazing what God does through us. I love seeing people's lives changed. Oh, wow, this is what it's all about for me. People's lives changed. Those water baptisms last week at 6 p.m. I don't know what it is about water baptisms. I think it is a recognition of seeing people lay behind their old lives and embrace their new worlds. It's a line in the sand for them in their walk with Jesus Christ. Warren and Jess got water baptized last week. Awesome guys. These are amazing people with their own stories. We've all got a story and we're all on a journey. But I tell you what, helping others on their journey to me is what makes this all worth it. Seeing new people come to Him and commit their worlds to Him, commit their lives to Christ, say goodbye to their old life and embrace a new one. I love the people. I love that my kids are going to have a place to grow up in where they are going to get to discover Christ. They're going to get to discover the fullness of Christianity. I love that we come here and encounter Him. You know, I'm going to go back to the last part of Jacob's, of this story about Jacob. See, he's had an encounter already. From that encounter, he has a revelation that this is the house of God, and I wasn't aware of it. And I believe once we have an encounter and we have a revelation, we have a decision to make. We have a commitment to make. And this is what happens. Jacob makes a vow and a promise. And I pick it up here. It says, Jacob was up first thing in the morning. He took the stone he had used for his pillow and stood it up as a memorial pillar and poured oil over it. He christened the place Bethel, or God's house. The name of the town had been Luz until then. That means tree of nuts. Just to give you some context. Jacob vowed a vow. If God stands by me and protects me on this journey on which I'm setting out, keeps me in food and clothing and brings me back in one piece to my father's house, this God will be my God. This stone that I have set up as a memorial pillar will mark this as a place where God lives, and everything you give me, I'll return a tenth to you. Four key stages in Jacob's walk: encounter, revelation, declaration or a vow, and then commitment. And this is what he does. He commits into the future. He commits to build the house. He commits that everything that he gets, he will give a tenth of. And I believe this morning, as we encounter Christ and as we have a revelation of who He is and who this house is, what this house is, we have no choice but to respond. We have no choice but to commit to help build this place. We have no choice but to make a vow of commitment to Christ and his house, because I want this place to be built into the future. I want this house to be built for me, for my kids, for their kids, for you, for your kids, for your kids' kids. I want this place to be built. You know, there's a lot of changes happening on the Northern Beaches. We have a hospital happening just up the road here. We have expansion. There's all sorts of new housing developments going in Warriewood. I love the new, and I love stopping 5 minutes away from my house in the traffic. It's fantastic. Every 2 seconds, and they're so courteous and polite, all of them. But, you know, there's a lot happening. Ingleside, they estimate 46,000 new residents will come in onto the Northern Beaches and the surrounding area. And I want this house to be a light on the hill. I want this house to reach out to those people. I want this house to be a house of healing when we have a hospital just up here. I want this house to reach out to the lost and to the broken. I want this house to be built. And as we come together this morning, I want us to make a commitment that we're going to do that. You know, we have our Vision Builders dinner coming up. That's one way to do it. This is not a preach to get you to sign up to serve or to do anything like that. But I do believe there's a holy moment in church when we've encountered and have a revelation of this house and what it means. We come and we commit into our future together. And I want us to do that this morning while all eyes are shut right now. I want us to make a commitment to Him as we set out into the future. If you've encountered Christ here and you've had a revelation of His house, then let's set together to build this place together. You know, there may be some people here this morning who have never had an encounter with Christ. You keep hearing me say encounter and you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's what church is. We've set it up. Jesus has set this place up so that you can encounter Him. If you have no relationship with Jesus, if you've never set forward on that journey, never taken a step, I'd love to give you that opportunity this morning, just in private right now. Every eye is shut in this place, and this is a private moment between you and God. And I just want, if that is you, if you feel like you'd like to take a first step in your journey towards Christ and towards encountering Him, can you just lift your hand here? I just want to see, it's really important that we see hands for a response. If that is you, if you would like to make a move towards Christ for the first time, thank you. Got your hand there. If there's anyone, thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. God wants to know you. God wants you to have an encounter with Him. He wants you to know Him. If you have been in this place, but you feel like it's been a while since you've had an encounter, or you've lost some of your revelation of who He is or what this house is, I want you to lift your hand as well in response, as to say, I want to take a step back towards that relationship. If there's anyone here, anyone else here who would like to do that, I'm not going to make you come down the front. I'm not going to do anything like that. We're just going to pray. If that is you, just lift your hand here. If you'd like to take a step back towards Christ this morning, I'm going to take the time to do that. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we all say this prayer together? I want everyone in this house saying this prayer. Lord, I come to you this morning. I thank you that you died for my sins. Forgive me and help me follow you. I thank you, Lord, that today I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name. Fantastic. Fantastic. You know, if you're in this place and that word has spoken to you this morning, I just want to pray for you right now. Just keep our eyes shut. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place. Lord, as we have an encounter with you and a revelation of who you are and who this house is, Lord, I thank you that you touch every person. in this place. I thank you, Lord, for those that have been hurt in this place. I thank you, Lord, that there is healing right now in this place. I thank you, Lord, for those, God, right now that need a new revelation of who you are and who what this place is. Lord, that they leave with something on the inside of them. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, you touch every person in this place. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church, for having back my beautiful wife.
We hope you enjoyed this message. If you have a story to share about God's work in your life, we'd love to hear it. Email us at stories@myc3church.net. Stay in touch and up to date. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram with the handle @C3 Oxford Falls.